Good morning. Welcome to Word of Life this morning. Ken and Patty are at his high school reunion out in Galveston this weekend, so they are not here. But we have Pastor Jay Brown from Concordia Austin University here leading us in worship today.
Of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. For me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well.
Our scripture reading today from the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning the 11th chapter, 12th verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her actions." This is the Gospel of our Lord, and we take now a moment of silence to consider our own sinfulness as we stand before God. Dear Lord Jesus, we stand before you today in your presence, not of our own power, but instead by your grace. We confess that we often give ourselves credit for our right relationship with you. We steal your glory and rob you of your honor. Jesus, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our arrogance, and forgive us for our selfishness. Your friends, the good news is that Jesus has paid the price for all of your trespasses. He loves you and he forgives you of all of your sins. I stand here before you today as a called pastor in this church, announcing to you that you have been reconciled with God by the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Your come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Children, it's time to come up for the children's message.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm excited about being here with you today. I've got a question for you, though. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever had somebody be mean to you? Probably the same if I were to ask everybody out there. We've all kind of had people be mean to us. Instead of being mean, how do we want them to be? How do we want them to act and treat us?
Nicer.
Yeah, nice, right? Yeah, then we want them to love us. Sure, okay. Well, let me ask you this question then. How many of you have ever been mean to somebody else? Yeah, that's a harder question because you know what? I'm sorry for it, but I've been mean to other people too. Yeah. And God doesn't like it when we're mean to each other. Instead, God wants what? What does he want instead? Yeah.
To be not wanting to beat someone up.
To be nice to each other, yeah. And to love one another, to not hurt each other. Sure, he wants that. And you know, sometimes though, when we don't do what God wants us to do, or the love that he wants us to show other people, and we don't do that, well, then it makes God sad. And God can't be near because God is so wonderful. God is so holy and pure and good. He can't be around those that are, well, sinful. And so you could go with Catherine here. So if this is where God is at, right, I want you to just go off to the side over there because you've got to be, right, because of some of the bad that you've done and the ways that you failed to do good, you've got to be away from God. Yeah. And that would be really sad for all of us because that's the truth for each and every one of us, isn't it? We've got to be away. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. It doesn't end there. We need to think about Jesus and how wonderful he is, that he loved us so much and he wants us to be near to God. Hey, that he comes over and gets us. God, wait a minute. Well, Jesus is great. He's good. And he suffered for us. Right? So he was separated from God. Do you know how he suffered? How did Jesus suffer for us? Do you guys know that one? Yeah. Died on the cross for us. Yeah. And he promises that he'll even come back then. He didn't just die on the cross. I mean, he's alive today. He rose again from the dead. And he promises that he'll come back and get us. So he comes back and gets us. Here, come here. Come here. Let's come back over this. Yeah. So we can be back in God's presence again. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the greatest? Oh, we'd be lost without Jesus. And we thank God for him that he sent his son to come and to get us and to forgive us and to love us so much and make us his own. Isn't that terrific? Puts big smiles on your faces, doesn't it? Puts a big smile on my face, yeah. Hey, let's pray. Dear God, we're sorry for the sins that we've committed, Lord, but we are thankful for Jesus, that we are forgiven in him, that you sent your son to come and find us who are lost, and that we can be found again and be with you forever in heaven. God, thank you for continuing to love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Almighty, who They sing, "Baby Jesus is sleeping in the hay." To us, they look like children performing for their congregation. But to the Chinese authorities, they are criminals. Because this is an underground house church, so called because they meet without state approval. They let us in to take these pictures to show both faith and defiance, while this congregation bravely shared with us what happens when the authorities find the faithful. The police called us evil and arrested us for illegal assembly, she explains. Chinese-born American Sam Chow works in China for religious freedom and researched the dangers faced by underground church worshipers.
I interviewed maybe 40, 50 people. Every one of them were beaten and jailed and harassed.
When Mao Zedong took power, he banned religion. Communism was the new faith. These days, the state allows churches, but worshipers must register with police. And yet, look at the faces. So many young people, even here.
They've grown up in a society where the moral imperative is make money and get ahead. And that doesn't take you very far.
People here are discovering perhaps a simple truth, that money alone isn't bringing happiness. So hundreds of millions of Chinese, their numbers growing every day, are seeking something more. So even traditional Eastern religions like Buddhism are flourishing again, but none like the underground Christians. In this village, they were even building their own church until, as this cell phone video shows, the authorities knocked it down. In China, it was once easy to know what to believe in, the Communist Party. Those days may be gone for good as a new generation learns how to find and keep its own faith. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Beijing.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in the faith, the persecution in the church is certainly nothing new. I mean, we can see it way back in the very beginning pages of the scriptures, the early chapters of Genesis. And I'm not just talking about Satan, how he has his fangs set towards the church. It even happened early on when Cain killed Abel. And the seventh chapter of Acts reveals this truth right here. It says that none of God's prophets escaped persecution. None of them. It's a truth that we're faced with today. It's a truth that Stephen was faced with in the church as he delivered his message to the people, a message that was not well received. Stephen was stoned. Because the people were convicted then of their sins, all that they were doing that displeased God. And when we're convicted of our sins, we hear God's law, what it does is it shows us our sin, right? S-O-S, we send up, Mayday, Mayday, we need help, shows us our sin. S-O-S, it tells us that we don't live up to God's standards, that, we're not the people that He wants us to be. Some people, though, don't respond with repentance and looking for help, though. Instead, they put up walls or maybe they even fight back, right, in anger or denial. These people here fought back by picking up rocks to stone Stephen. They didn't want to face, the truth and the reality about themselves. The truth sometimes hurts, does it not? I mean, consider this. You were on playground, right? Or maybe if, wherever, and you were making fun of me, and you were to say something like this. You were to say, that Jay Brown, you in your two noses. Jay, you've got those two noses, and they look... What do I care? I know I don't have two noses, so what? But now if you say something that, really strikes a nerve inside, something that I know to be true, then it hurts a little bit. Hey, you, Jay Brown, you and your receding hairline, I'm like, okay, that's the truth. And that kind of hurts a little bit. But we as Christians, we don't share the truth in order to hurt people. We don't do it because we want to be mean. We don't do it because we want to hate. We share God's truth with people, and sometimes it does hurt a little bit, but it's for their own good. It's to bring them back in a right relationship with God, to show them their sin so that they can indeed know the need for a Savior. And so we do indeed also share that gospel, the gospel in Jesus Christ. This is what Martin Luther was doing when he was sharing then both law and gospel with the church. Luther didn't set out, as we kind of celebrate this Reformation Day today then and remember back all the events that happened, he didn't set out to be a rebel. He didn't set out to form a new church and to, you know, cause trouble. Instead, all he wanted to do was be unified, but not just for the sake of unity. He understood that unity in Christ Jesus was the only unity that we could have. And so it was that he wanted to enter into some discussion. He just wanted to talk about a few points and make sure that we were grounded and rooted in God's Word in the Holy Scriptures. And so he goes to the church then, and he says, here's these 95 talking points, these 95 theses, we call them, right, as he posted them up on the door in Wittenberg. And he says, let's have a discussion about this, and all of these abuses that are going on then, show me in Scripture where they're at. Show me in Scripture where this authority is at in the church. Well, and they couldn't do it. And what happens when they're convicted of their sin? They wanted to fight back. And Luther was indeed persecuted for his faith, persecuted for standing firm on the Word of God. And it wasn't just that he was kind of socially outcast, and it wasn't just that he was spiritually, you know, set aside by being excommunicated from the church, but his life was in danger. I mean, they wanted to take him out. They wanted to kill him. And so it is that he had to go into hiding for standing firm on God's Word. Christians today are persecuted for standing firm on God's Word, are they not? You hear of many examples of how it is that churches are vandalized. This happened in our area and all that long ago. How churches are sometimes the victim of arson and how it is that they receive threats. Dear friends, this is happening not just even here, but all around the world in varying degrees. I think here in the United States, we enjoy so many freedoms to be able to worship right now that we really don't know what persecution is yet. Yet. I do think the time is coming for us. Kind of like how it is over in the Holy Land right now. We had at Concordia University earlier this month, Dr. Mitri Rahab. He's a pastor that used to serve at Christmas Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. There's a lot of Bethlehems in the United States, right? But this was Bethlehem, you know, over there. He served in this church, and he came to talk about, here at the university, the persecution that's taking place against Christians right now, even today. And some of us think of persecution just as being, maybe it is that bomb, right, or a death threat, or a kidnapping and a beating. Well, although that kind of stuff takes place, it's not all that happens. Sometimes it's a little more subtle, where it is that Christians can't even support their families because they're not able to get the jobs that everybody else can get. Or it is that, yeah, sure, you can go ahead worship, but you have to register with us first and maybe even pay a strong and a hefty tax for who you are. Persecution's taking place all over this world in varying degrees. Dear friends, we need to be in prayer about this. Now, here we know hardship, right? And it may not be a persecution per se, but certainly there are a lot of struggles in our lives. There is a lot of pain and difficulty that we experience, and sometimes it's through natural disaster, sometimes it's through an illness or a broken relationship, and you can fill in the blank in your own lives. There is none of us that free from hardship and struggle and difficulties. But here's the message today, and how it especially relates then to even the persecution, is we as Christians know that there is something far more that can carry us through to the other side, do we not? God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46 shares with us. He is our ever-present help in trouble. Though the waters are roaring and foaming, though the mountains come at us and tremble and it's swelling, boy, we know that this is not all there is. Our hope is not in this life only. Our hope is in the work and the victory in Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference when we're going through the tough times and the struggles and we're facing the pains in life, no matter from which direction they might come. Because our eyes are set on a Savior who loves us and one who makes us a promise that He will indeed be with us and walk first and foremost as we enter into even that valley of the shadow of death, as we hear in Psalm 23. For He is with us. And furthermore, in Psalm 23 too, He makes this promise. I love it. I love how it goes. He says that He'll prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Can you imagine that? Enemies on all sides of us, and we're just kind of kicking back and eating because we know God's got everything under control. Not that He promises that life is going to be all roses, right? I mean, it wasn't for the Old Testament Israelites either, and we're celebrating Reformation Day today. They were given many things to celebrate. One of the things that they celebrated was the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, right? And this commemorated their 40 days of wandering in the desert. Yay, 40. No, that wasn't what they were celebrating. I mean, it wasn't that they were happy that they were wandering and experienced this hardship in the desert. Instead, it was in the midst of that, they knew that God remembered them. And they could then, therefore, remember God. Remember, God had made a promise to them that He would make them their very own, that they would be His people and He would be their God. He would go before them, He would take care of them, and He would see them through to the other side. It's the same promise that He makes us today so that we can indeed celebrate. Celebrate who God is and what He's done for us, even in the midst of difficulty and trouble in our lives. And we know, furthermore, as we keep things in perspective, that even if something were to happen to this church, right, building, if you will, that it wouldn't be the end. All hope would not be lost. Here's a picture of the Western Wall in Jerusalem, and it's a place where people go and gather to worship. For Jews, they are not allowed at the place where the temple once sat there on God's holy mountain. And so it is that this Western Wall, because that's a place that's occupied by Muslims right now today. And so this place, the Western Wall, is as close as they can get in proximity, as close as they're allowed to get then to that place that was once so holy. And that's why they recognize this as such a place that causes such significance for them. See, as Christians, we know a little different. You know, we don't get ourselves wrapped up in a building. We don't get ourselves wrapped up in a location, because we know that God's promise is so much more, and it comes to us even no matter where two or three are gathered together. We know that the church is where God's word is preached in its purity, where we stand like Luther did, right, on the Holy Scriptures. And we know it's where the sacraments are administered rightly, where baptism and Holy Communion are made available to God's people, and He comes to serve each and every one of us, whether it's inside this building, or whether it's out in a park or a playground or you name it. What's important is who God is and what He does for us and the promises He makes for His people. This is why inside the worship service, we see the gospel there. This is where our hope is. It's on the invocation where we call on God's name, where we recognize that His presence is among us. In that confession and absolution where we receive the assurance that our sins are forgiven. As the word comes to us, certainly by the reading and the preaching and the singing, and as we confess our faith, sometimes we do so in the words of the creeds. That faith that He gave us in holy baptism as His word was spoken over the waters of baptism and does such great and powerful things in our lives to make us His very own. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, as our sins are forgiven, our faith is strengthened then as He comes to us, Jesus, in His very body and blood. in the offerings. Yes, we're giving back, but we're only giving what he has first given us, as he has blessed for us and given us to be stewards of all that he entrusts into our care and the prayers. See, we were once separated from God, like I had the children go off to the side during the earlier message, right? But by Jesus' work, he reconciles us and brings us back into close relationship, goes to find and to seek us and to restore us once again to be his very own, so that we can indeed go to our Father in prayer once more, and offers us many blessings in our lives as we look to the future and who we are in Christ. And it's those same blessings that you hear, Word of Life, take out not only, you know, and enjoy for yourself that hope and promise, but you then take outside of these walls and share with the rest of the community. Here's a picture right here of some of your own people out there in the community making sacrifices, understanding that what's in this world is not just about our comfort, not just about, you know, selfishly what's in it for me, but serving others, sacrificing, going through hardships, and sometimes that's persecution, sometimes that's other difficulties, and sometimes it's service as we humble ourselves and put others ahead of us as we love God and love one another, recognizing that this all comes from a king who humbled himself for our sake. To reconcile us, yes, but by doing so, by making himself then subject to all of the persecution and the pain and the hardships that he endured, the ridicule, the torture, and even the death on that cross. Why did he do that for us? Why did Jesus go to the cross for us? Because of his love, yes. And because he knew that there was no other way. In Romans, it says this right here, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Righteousness from God comes apart from the law. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. When you believe in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit works in you to give you faith in what our Lord and Savior has done, then you are made righteous in Him. You are reconciled to God, and He says this, "Dear friends, my beloved, my sons, my daughters, I have suffered so that your suffering can come to an end." Praise be to Christ as we stand firm on His word that our suffering does indeed come to an end when we stand in Jesus Christ and recognize that we receive the victory that He has won for us on the cross. We do pick up our cross and follow Him. And we do suffer hardships and we do die in this world, but as Romans 6:4 tells us and promises, we were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Go therefore this day, live that new life in Christ Jesus, not wrapped up in the things of this world and what the world can do to us, but knowing that we have a heavenly kingdom, a God who loves us and has done everything that we might be His own. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for calling us to be your own, bringing us here to your holy house today, especially knowing that we can be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for John the Baptist and the prophets, Jesus especially, Martin Luther, and Christians who have faced and continue to face threats to their lives and families and faithfully live and proclaim God's word. We ask, Lord, for healing for Kathy and Becky. We ask that you would be with those that were engaged in recent marriage then, both Amanda and Cara. Lord, we ask for your blessings, financial blessings. We give thanks then, continued blessings, especially as this church continues to support the Therefore Go Building Fund. And for all the blessings and resources that you have entrusted into our care and promised to multiply as we go forth to build a bigger heaven and better lives for your people. We ask, Lord, that you would inspire and empower us to receive your great gifts, even through your word and sacraments, and to boldly live and share them with others despite ridicule and rejection. Lord, bless all of our missionaries out there, and in particular the people of Cristo Salvador as they reach out to people in Brazil and beyond. To bless our government, to provide justice and protection for the good of all of your people. To bless our leaders with godly wisdom and guidance that they would lead according to your will. And to bless victims of persecution, violence, terrorism, and disaster, even as we remember those who experienced floods and hurricanes in their lives. Lord, bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Isaac and Juan. Ask that you'd grant better employment for Jamie and Anna Marie. Ask for a healthy pregnancy and delivery for Kelly and Carly and Sharon, Aaron, Molly, and Sophia. Lord, be with Lenoria and her premature baby boy. Ask God that you bless all the Stephen ministers, especially as they move forward in training to do your work and your will for their lives as they serve your people. We ask for your mercy and certain hope for Dot in her last days. Please, God, comfort the family with the hope of the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, those who are mourning the loss of Dub and Zach. Ask that you would heal Robin and Al and John and the Sibdani family, Milagro, John, Sophia, Jamie, Coleman, Jean, Bob, Jenna, Ray, Audrey, Hayden, Rick, Paul, Monica, Katie and Connie and William and Denise, Charlene, Sarah and Ashley and Amanda, Benny and Danielle, Ed, Lisa, Diane, Courtney and Brenda. Lord, your healing hand, may it be upon Forrest and Charlie and Marianne, Larry and Ginger and Eric, Greg and TJ and Morgan and Chris and Riley and Wesley and Lyle. Lord, be with those that are battling cancer. Joan and Rita, Buster, Edward, Carrie, Ada, Tom, Antonio, Kathy, Jason, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, Hyman, John, Twyla, Ann, and Harold. Ask God that you'd soften the hardened hearts and bring those who wish to persecute your people and your church, that you would bring them in a right relationship with your Son, our Lord Jesus, who offers hope to all. In his great name, we pray these things. Amen. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now it's time to receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you this day. As you stand firm in God's holy word, receive the promise then that Jesus Christ has made you his very own. Go forth and know that you are reconciled with God and you are loved. Amen.
Good luck has come.
can be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction here at the foot.